RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the, I do so many podcasts, I didn't know which one I was on there for a second. This is the Hunting Gear Podcast, and today we are joined by Greg Farrell from Tacticam / Reveal. How are we doing today, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks, dude.
Good to be back.
It's this time of year, I'm always frustrated now that my kids are old enough to be in damn near every activity from like summer camps to going swimming to like baseball, two kids in baseball, club baseball, travel baseball, all that stuff. And so right now I have fear of missing out. So like I know all these dudes who are getting pictures sent to their phone, and I have yet to get a trail camera out in the woods. And so that's not a good thing to tell the guy who I'm working with right here is like, oh, you don't have any trail cameras out, right? And so, but I feel like that's the most relatable thing ever because everybody else is in my shoes too. But now that the fourth is over, that's like a key tipping point. And now that we have baseball coming to an end next week, it's going to open up all this time for me. And then I'll be jumping into the woods feet first, dude. So I'm excited.
It's funny. It's like the 4th of July is literally the switch for in terms of like the trail cam world. It's like after the 4th of July happens, it seems like everybody kind of, it's like, okay, we did the summer thing, right? Like there's a little bit left, but like I'm fully transitioning to fall. And it just seems like that's when everybody turns them on. I will say, you know, your situation is probably a blessing and a curse, the whole not having cameras out yet. It's like, it's such a fun time to have cameras out because you know, you can watch deer grow. You start to get an idea of what's in the area. But it's also, I feel like, this false sense of hope, you know, where it's like, we're really getting into it, right? Like, I'm spending more time on my phone looking at pictures than I probably should right now, but it's still, like, a little bit too far away to be excited about.
That's a fact. And one thing that I have learned about this false sense of hope is I, on one of my farms, the biggest farm, it is a summer gathering for giant whitetails. The velvet comes off. And there's a redistribution across the landscape. And all these whitetails that I was so jacked to start hunting disappear. They go somewhere else. And only a couple stay behind. So I go from like a summertime game farm where you're like, dude, this can't be real, to more of a normal expectation for hunting. And I mean, whatever Iowa, whatever people want to say about Iowa. So, like, so I get really fired up and then I go, okay, reality check. And now I'm back down, you know, off the ladder a couple rungs. So do you have cameras out and running right now?
Oh yeah. I got a bunch of cameras out. We're always interesting. Like, so I'm based out of Wisconsin. So that's where I do a lot of my hunting out of. And we always open the second weekend of September. So you're flirting right on that edge of when those bucks are either still in those summer patterns, right? Or that velvet comes off and they go into fall patterns. So I feel like every year you're just hoping that they hang on for a few more days. Cause if they do, like our opening week can just be dynamite, right? It's like they're still in summer patterns. You've scouted them all summer. You kind of know what these deer are doing. But it seems like it never fails, right? It's always like within 3 days before the season, right? Like disperses. It's like, all right, I got to go back to the drawing board and figure
out.
But every once in a while, we'll have like a, it seems like, you know, that second Saturday in September comes a little earlier in the month, depending on how the days line up. And we'll get a few days there where it's like, it's full on summer pattern. So.
Yeah. And I know some guys who have, like, they go all in, especially on some of these states that have September openers, and they're connecting on deer right away every year. Whether it is that, you know, that September opener, or maybe you'll get like a late September opener, or maybe even that traditional October 1st opener. Like I know guys who they go hard and then they just believe that the rut is a waste of time because of the chaos of it. So they want to get a deer on a pattern, and that's where they've specialized, is where I'm going in hard week one. And if I don't get it done, well, then it gets tough for me. So,
I mean, that's kind of my game plan here every year. It's like, I'll spend all summer putting together a plan for that first week, you know, and I'll go super hard that first week. And if I don't get it done that first week, it's almost like I step back then, right? And it's like, okay, back to the drawing board, right? It's like moving cameras around. It's almost like you're starting over in a way, right? It's like you use that summer to obviously find the deer that are in the area that you potentially want to go after. But if you don't connect in that first week, it's like, all right, now I got to move cameras away from these summer food sources, right? Where I was finding deer into transition areas and travel corridors. And it's almost like reset for the fall, right? Kind of start over.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the last couple years in Reveal, because you guys, I mean, when you guys first came out with your cameras, how many years ago was that?
Let's see, we would be 5 or 6 years ago now.
Yeah, so let's just say five years. The Reveal trail camera comes out. It kind of, and this is just my opinion of Reveal comes out. Everybody goes, you know, cell cameras shouldn't be that cheap. So if they're cheap, they're they're crap, right? I don't want to pay for that. But what we've started to see is that is nowhere the case. Because I'll be honest, I was a little bit skeptical at first. I was like, no, there's no way that these cameras can perform at the cost that they are when you have everybody else, the competitors, that are $200, $300, $400 in the higher end ones, you know, with the higher cost. But I was just kind of blown away. And now you see this, you guys have put a big footprint in the space. And then the 3.0s come out. Okay. The Pro and the X 3.0s. And I was like, I was really interested to start putting them out and working with them. And then when I found out, like, number one, how easy they were to set up, because, man, I have some really bad experiences with cell cameras throughout the years where I'm just like, okay, you have to go to a store. You got to buy a SIM card. You got to enter in a code that's 24 digits long on a trail camera that's analog. So you're like, oh my, this just blows. And now, the way that these cards are, or these cameras are now set up with scanning a QR code, making sure the app is downloaded, and that's really it. And so it just becomes a no-brainer now to use some of these cameras. And so I was very impressed with the 3.0 versions and the functionality of them. And so what was your guys's, like, what, with you guys being the company, what was the reaction from the public about the 3.0 series?
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, stepping even one step back from what you said, like when we came onto the market, the reaction at first was very much what you said, right? It was like, Wait a second, you know, you can't have a quality product that price. But like, all credit to our founders, you know, so Tacticam started out as the point of view camera, right? That's What everybody got a new Tacticam for. And our founders were obviously, you know, they're huge hunters. They're as passionate or as crazy about it as anybody I've ever met. And, you know, they had this aha moment where it was like, hey, we've figured out how to make a really high quality camera in a really small package, right? In the point of view camera. We're not stoked on anything that's happening in the cell camera space because A, they're either really, really expensive, or B, they kind of don't do what we want them to do. Yeah. So can we take this form factor, right, this camera that we've already figured out how to make, and just basically put it into a different form factor and kind of be that really high quality camera at a lower price point? And at first, I think people kind of had that same gut reaction. And then eventually people started using them, and it was like this aha moment, right? Like, This was before I started working here, but I remember, you know, some of those early reveals, like, they couldn't keep them in stock, and people were selling them on eBay for 4 times the MSRP because they were such a hot item. And it just grew from there, right? And I think every year there's been this evolution of kind of what that product is. And the 3.0 is a great example of that, right? It was, I think, really a great example of where we put our chips as a company, right? There's a few things that are really important to us. Like, reliability is the biggest one. We never want our customers to be the guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. And the 3.0 had a lot of new features, right? A lot of advancement, but we had spent, you know, previous years testing those features and that advancement. So when the customers got it, it wasn't like, oh, I hope this works, right? It's like, we knew it was going to work, and we knew it was going to be a huge improvement over the previous models. In addition to that, like, you hit the nail on the head with the setup. I mean, that's one of the things for us that's always been a pillar of what we want to do, is like, ease of use is huge. Part of that is the hardware and software side. I was very much like you. I mean, before I started working here a couple of years ago, I used almost every camera on the market, including Reveals. They all had things that were great. Some of them had things that weren't so great. But one of the things that I consistently thought Reveal was the absolute best at was like ease of use, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had some of those other cameras, probably the same ones you're talking about, where I would spend a half a day getting these cameras ready before I could even go put them out in the field, right? The simplicity of just opening up your app, scanning a camera, and it's loaded, that's great. But in addition to that, now, like, with the 3.0s, you know, you had things like auto connectivity, right? And multi-carrier connectivity, meaning that when you flip that camera on, it just automatically starts searching for cell signal, and whatever cell signal it finds that's the strongest, that's the one it's going to use. So that doesn't matter if it's AT&T or Verizon or whatever, right? Like, you don't have to worry about that as the end user. You are just going to get the strongest signal. We deal with the billing on the back end, right? And you just pay your subscription cost. So little things like that, right? Like, it makes a big difference, I think, in terms of just the end user's experience. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the podcast here. Like, the thing it seems like everybody is strapped for is time. Mm-hmm. So how can we provide our customers a tool that makes their whole process super efficient, not only getting them out in the woods, but also a tool to save you time when they're out in the woods, right? Like, we don't all have 40 hours a week to be out in the woods scouting. So how can you put these things to use for you so that while you're at your kid's baseball game, right? Or you're at a dance recital, or, you know, you name it, right? We all work 40 hour weeks. Like, essentially you can be scouting the entire time, but if the thing's in the woods and it doesn't work, right, it doesn't help you. So it goes back to that reliability and ease of use thing. I think that's the biggest deal for us, is like making sure that reliability and ease of use is really on point.
Yeah. And that's a deal breaker for me personally, because I've had cameras in the past where I always do a setup run in my garage. Okay. Set them up and it's facing at me. And then as I'm getting other cameras ready, that camera will take a picture and it will send it to my phone, and then I will know, check, that's ready to go. But I, you know, like most people, for me, I do a lot of my stuff on the weekends, right? And when I need customer service, like if it's not working, then I need customer service, because I've driven then multiple hours to my farm. I've hiked into the woods, I've set up the camera, and now the camera's not working. So I try to make a phone call, and of course it's the weekend, so there's no customer service for some of these other cameras. And so now what I've done is I've wasted time, like you've talked about, and I've lost my faith in specific products, because you are telling me it does something and it's now doing something else, and I don't have time to deal with it on the back end. So I've gotten rid of cameras because of that in the past. And so the fact that, and this is, I can't believe how simple when I say it out loud, it actually is. I just want cell cams where I turn it on and it takes pictures. That's it. That's all anybody wants, right? They don't, I mean, we're going to get into all the additional features that some of these cameras have, but at the end of the day, I just want pictures that, like, I just want pictures, dude. That's it. And when I have to jump through a ton of hoops to make that work, or take loopholes, or go to a different store and, you know, like, do long division in order to make it happen, like, I'm not into that shit. So I just want my stuff to work. And when I set my reveals up, dude, boom, done. Taken care of. I can forget about them. And the only time I'm thinking about them is when I'm on the app and I see, oh, battery's getting low, better go check it. Or ping. And then I wake my wife up in the middle of the night, or I'm like, oh my God, dude, check this giant out. He's a giant, dude. And I'm getting fired up at like 2 a.m. When my wife says, shut that light off, shut that off. You know, so that's all I want, dude. That's all I want. And so when you have cameras that make that happen, dude, I get jacked.
And here's the thing, right? Like, you're taking a piece of technology and you're putting it out in the elements 365 days a year, right? Yep. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that nothing ever goes wrong with the Reveal cam, right? Like, every once in a while, something will go wrong. You take technology, you put it in the environment. Like, inherently, those two things don't go together typically very well, right? Like, you leave your cell phone outside for 365 days a year, you're going to have an issue with it, right?
Yep.
So you hit the nail on the head with the customer service thing too. Like, so I talked about like how reliability, ease of use, like that's always a staple for us in a product we put out. But beyond that, like, we want to make sure that if you do have an issue or if you do need help, you can get that from us, right? So it's like, we employ over 200 customer service agents. They're all employees of Tacticam. We don't farm that out to some third party, you know, agency overseas. Mm-hmm. They're all in the United States. They're all end users of the product. They're all experts at the product, right? It's like, when you call us, you're going to A, get a real person on the phone that's going to be your agent from the time you call in till the time you have a resolution to your problem. Like, it's only that person, right? And it's somebody who understands the product, and it's somebody who can actually help you. So if they can't help you on the phone that day, they're going to be the one that calls you back the next day, right? Or they're going to be the one that sends you a replacement camera. So I think that's the other part of it too, that we've really committed to. I mean, that's not cheap, right? Like you think about hiring or employing 200 customer service agents that are part of the company, but it's a commitment that's really important to us because, man, nothing is more frustrating. It's exactly what you just said, than when you need something to work and it doesn't work. And I don't care if it's your cell camera, if it's your rifle, if it's your bow, if it's you name it, right? It's like when we need these things to work, we need them to work. Like there's no exception there. Right. So we always try and make sure that like if and when you do have an issue, we make it as painless and seamless and easy as possible for you to get that taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I want to talk about this transition from the 3.0s to the Ultra and what that looked like for you guys. And I'm guessing that a lot of it had to do with customer feedback. And maybe the 3.0 has always been the setup for the Ultra. And so I want you to talk a little bit about that and it's like elaborate on the customer feedback from the 3.0 that maybe changed some technology or added some additional features for the Ultra.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, Galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athletic-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think you could even go back to like what we just talked about. When you have 200 customer service agents on the phones every day, we get a lot of feedback from customers, and we take that really seriously. So we have a pipeline from our customer service team directly to our product team, right? And it's a constant pipeline of information, and we're always listening to what people want, what they're asking for, what they wish a product did, right? So what we really did with the Ultra was we took everything that everybody loved about the 3.0s and we said, okay, in addition to that, what are the main things that people want in a camera? And to be completely honest with you, a lot of these requests came before the 3.0s even came out, right? Like this is stuff we have been working on prior to 3.0s.
Right.
And there was two main things that we heard. One was something that we wanted, right? So the two main things that we heard from customers is they wanted true live video streaming. So with the 3.0s, you had this ability to do what we called on-demand video. On-demand video allowed you to go on the app, you requested, so you click a button, request on-demand video. It would take a video for say up to, let's just say 30 seconds, take a 30 second video, and then it would send you that video. So basically from the time you hit the button till the time you got the video, the only delay was the amount of time the camera was taking the video. So right. It was near instantaneous, but it wasn't instantaneous. Now, people might say, well, why did you just put live streaming in the 3.0s? The reason we put live streaming in the 3.0s, we did the on-demand video, is the biggest problem with on-demand video and other competitor cameras at the time was that it was a huge battery suck. So we were like, yeah, that's cool that you can do that, but nobody wants to do that a handful of times and then their battery be dead, right? So it was important for us to figure out how do we have a solution to that problem, not just like a me too version of a feature,
right?
So we were actually doing in the background the whole time was kind of working on an upgraded modem in the camera that worked better with the operating system so that you could truly have on-demand video, not be this giant battery suck. Live stream video.
Right.
So with the Ultra, we were able to, you know, we got to a point where we got that all figured out. It was working seamlessly. So now with the Ultra, you do have an option where, you know, if you want, like you hit the button and the video starts, you can do that. And people might be like, well, why do people want that? Why is that important, right? What do you use it for? I think there's a couple of things where people use it a ton for. One, I think the way I use it the most is, let's say I have a camera on a food plot and I want to go sit a stand near that food plot that evening. You know, most of the time a food plot's going to be a lot bigger than what your detection range of a camera is. So what I can do is I could just click live stream right before I head into that stand or as I'm close, and I could see maybe there's deer in the field that didn't trip the trigger of the camera, but am I going to blow anything out right while I'm going to my stand? That's a really cool way to use it. Or even on the way out, right? It's like, if I have a camera between where I'm sitting and my exit route, I could just click live stream, make sure there's no deer in that area that I'm going to blow out on my way in and out. So really it's a tool, I think, to help with, you know, your entry and exit routes. The other thing that is really cool about it is, let's say you have a camera on a scrape, you know, your phone goes off. And this is what I think is the coolest feature about live stream. Like, you get that ding on your phone that you were talking about. Buck comes in, is working a scrape. From that photo itself, so you click on your phone, the photo opens up. There's actually a button right below that photo that says enter live stream. So you can go from receiving that photo to entering live stream. Maybe you're able to catch that buck, finish working that scrape, and then you can see which way he walks off, right? That's intel that you wouldn't have had if you would have just had a picture.
Yeah.
So that's an example of one of the additional features that we had been asked for. And it's not that we weren't listening for 3.0s. We were just working in the background on how do we actually make a better solution for live stream than kind of what's on the market.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else? Because I want to talk about this live stream thing, and I think you probably know where I'm going to go. As someone who listens to a lot of people, you know, I watch social media and all that. So I want to table live streaming just for a moment and kind of go back to the other features, the new features for the Ultra that the 3.0 maybe didn't have or you expanded on.
Yep. So two other ones. The second one that was really a request of customers was selectable low glow and no glow flash.
Okay.
So again, we could set back to 3.0s. If you bought the X, you got a low glow flash camera. If you had a Pro, you got a no glow flash camera. Now, both of those have their situations, their circumstances where they are superior. So for example, if I'm going to put a camera in a food plot and I know that like very likely deer are going to be further away from that camera, especially at night, I'm going to go with a low glow flash camera because I actually get brighter, clearer pictures at distance than I do with a no glow flash, right? Now, let's say I'm going to put a camera on like a travel corridor, right? Or a pinch point, or maybe you live in a state where you can bait. So you have a feeder, right? In those instances, I'm going to put a no glow camera out because I know the deer are going to be closer to the camera. And I don't need that extra brightness for longer distance photos. And then there's no illumination whatsoever, right? We can argue until the cows come home, but whether undulates can see, you know, that red wavelength of light or not, we've done a lot of testing on our own. But either way, you kind of had to choose the camera based off where you're going to put it for it to be optimized. Yeah. Now with the Ultra, it's as simple as like, maybe I don't know where I'm going to hang a camera. I have four cameras in my backpack. I'm just going out to hang cameras. Now, wherever I end up putting that camera, I can just go in the app and I can say, I want this to be low glow or I want this to be no glow. And I don't have to have a specific camera based off the situation. I just put the camera out and then set it up for the situation.
Right. Right. Okay. So it allows you to select where you play the best light option for where or illumination for where you put the camera.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And then the third one is what we call active GPS. So we can maybe get more into like the mapping side of things or our app later here. But one of the most, I think, efficiency gaining features of Reveal cameras is they have GPS in them. So when you turn that camera on, you know, so let's say you turn it on, you put it on a tree, it will automatically drop a pin on the map in your Reveal app. So we have our own mapping section in the Reveal app. It'll drop a pin where it lives. So instead of you having to go into a different mapping platform, drop your own pin, label it pinch point camera, right? And then hopefully you got it in the right spot. Or if you move that camera, you have to remember to move the pin, blah, blah, blah. It just automatically syncs to your maps. So that's really cool, right? One of the negative things about the GPS that we've always had in all our cameras is if you turn the camera off or the battery dies, obviously it's no longer have connection to that GPS feature of the camera.
Right.
Right. So what we did is we actually built what we call active GPS. So it's a secondary battery that's inside of the camera. You can't take it out. The only way you could take it out is if you pulled the camera completely apart to the point where it's not functional anymore. And what that battery does is it powers the GPS and the camera for up to weeks after the camera is either turned off or the battery's taken out or the battery dies. So there's a couple instances where this becomes really helpful. One, let's say it's end of the season. Like, I don't know if you're like me, but by the time the season gets over, like, I'm pretty toast, right?
Right.
So I might not want to go out in the field and grab all 30 plus cameras or 50 cameras I have out. So typically for me, it becomes like a January or February activity of going and getting those cameras. Now, if you have that many cameras out, you forgot where you put one and the battery happens to die in you between the end of the season, right? And when you go get them. The nice thing is you have that couple week buffer where that active GPS battery will still power the GPS of that camera. You can just go into your app, check out the maps and find out exactly where the camera is. The other thing that it's great for is public land guys, right? It's the dirty secret of public land and it sucks. And I hate that it's the case, but like camera theft or people taking cameras off of trees and ditching them in a ditch or a drainage or whatever, like it happens a lot. And
yeah. You
got this amount of money stuck into a camera, like that sucks. So the nice thing here too is like, even if somebody takes your camera off a tree, they turn the camera off, they pull the battery out, you're going to be able to find exactly where that camera is for a couple weeks afterwards. So whether you need to contact the authorities, right, for them to go get that camera from whoever took it, or maybe they took it and they threw it in a drainage ditch, like you can find it in that drainage ditch and you're not out the couple hundred bucks for the camera, right? You can go recover it.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. So technically, that camera is shut off, but it's still connected to the app through GPS.
Correct.
So some guy throws it in the back of his truck and then you can literally go find it if you wanted to. Knock on his door and be like, hey, dude, you got something that belongs to me?
We have customer stories of them actually calling the cops, right? And like they'll have a picture of the cops going and they'll go to people's houses and they've got cameras back for them because of this feature.
Yeah. That is, that's wild. That's wild that, but that's also badass too.
Yeah.
Like now people have to really start thinking about whether or not they want to start messing with other people's stuff because it's theft proof. Now, the only thing that you guys need is a little device where if someone who's not you opens up the camera, one of those bank blue dye packs explodes on their face. So they have to live a week with blue dye all over their body. That would be badass too. If you could make that happen.
Shamed by the rest of the hunting community.
Exactly.
Camera thief.
Okay. All those are really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about within the past 365 days, like the upgrades that have been made to maybe the app, which is the connective part of the camera to your phone.
Yeah. So going back to even 3.0, so this was, over a year ago now, one of the biggest upgrades that was made was on the mapping side of things, right? So if you go into our maps now, it's a lot more feature rich than it's ever been before. You can draw custom shapes, right? You can draw tracks, you can drop custom pins. So if you want to put a pin where you find a scrape or you put a tree stand, or let's say you want to, it's this time of year, it's July and you're working on food plots, right? But you need to figure out how much seed you need, right? Like you can draw a shape and it'll calculate acreage for you. So kind of all of those like upgraded map features that we've known to come in love across other mapping platforms, you now have the capability to do on our maps as well. Like even landowner names, right? Like you can click on parcels and find landowner names. So if you're trying to knock on doors or get a hold of people, right? If you're looking for permissions, you can do that. Yeah. So kind of all of those features are now integrated into our maps. So with that, and to me, like that's all great. I love that. It's all features I use. But you pair that with a map that also integrates with your camera, and that's where true efficiency is gained, right? So I talked about how when you turn a camera on, it automatically shows up on your map. The other cool thing is like you can use the map as a way to get to your cameras. So like the interface is connected. What I mean by that is like, okay, so let me just use myself as an example. I have one parcel that I lease that's about 45 minutes from here, right? I have about 15 cameras on that parcel. If I just want to focus on that parcel in terms of like, what are my camera battery life, all of my cameras battery life at? I'm thinking about hunting there tonight. Like, I want to navigate the pictures of just the cameras on that parcel. I actually use the map as my entry point to those cameras, because when I'm looking at the map, I'm going to see two things. I'm going to see all the cameras that I have, where they're located. I'll also see a battery indicator. So on the map itself, I can just quickly look at all 15 of those cameras, and I'll know what all of the battery levels are on those cameras. I don't have to go into the individual cameras.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is, like, let's say I'm thinking about setting a spot. I'll just use the map, and like, I can look at that spot and I can say, okay, these are the three cameras I have in that spot. I can click on the little pin itself and it takes me right to the camera. So then I can be looking at photos from just that camera. I can back out, I can go to the next camera. So it's the ability to use the map to navigate to the cameras and settings and photos that you want that becomes a huge advantage versus having to have two apps open, right? Your mapping app and your cell camera app, and kind of switching back and forth all the time. They talk to each other and they work together.
Yeah. So my next question is, I've noticed that a lot of other companies, and it's not just the Onyx, the Hunt Stands of the world, right? It's these trail cameras companies are now all have mapping features in them, and they're all similar to the Onyxes of the world. Is there an upload service or something where I can pull all of my pins from an Onyx or Hunt Stand or others to what you guys are doing, so I can have my buck bed pin or my, hey, I saw a mule deer here pin, so that I only truly need one app?
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
Yep. So you own, and I didn't do this either, right? Like, I'm guilty of it. When you sign the terms and conditions for any of those other, like, truly mapping companies, at least the big ones, you own all those pins, right? Yeah. You own those locations. Like, they have access to that data, but you also, like, it's within your right to pull that data away from that map.
Yep.
So there is actually a way, and I don't want to say it's super efficient right now. It's actually not too bad. I did it. You can pull the GPS coordinates for all those pins along with the data associated with them. And there is a way to then take that and upload it to a different map, whether it's ours or somebody else's, right? Like, let's say you wanted to switch from, I don't know, Onyx to Spartan Forge. You could do it that way too, or vice versa, right? So it's not actually that difficult. A simple Google search can walk you through it pretty quickly. But you can do a bulk upload of pins from a different service from one service to a different service as it pertains to those maps.
Okay. And so what this is doing, in my opinion, is it's making this mapping, it's blurring the lines of a traditional mapping app. And it's also forcing a lot of competition in the space, because now we have this, well, we do that. Like, we can do that. And we also have our cell cameras connected to that. So some of these, don't get me wrong. I'll just use Onyx, for example. I use Onyx every day. I open it up, and while I'm waiting for something to, like, a 30 seconds on the microwave, boom. Okay. Look it up. Cool. Yep. Whatever. But now it's becoming way easier for other companies to do it, and it's more functional for me anyway, because I have cell cams that are connected to these areas as well. So, and then I can check out the pictures or whatever it is that I'm doing there. So I like that. I like that. It's making the market, I guess you would say, really competitive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the app side of things is almost, to me, as or more interesting, like, the software and the app side than the hardware side, right? Like, I think that's where we're going to continue to see actually faster evolution and faster growth than you will on the hardware side, right? And like, the possibilities are endless there. Like, we released a feature on the app side earlier this year. It was an upgrade to our galleries. So where you store photos, right? most people call those galleries. Mm-hmm. You know, you now have the ability to, and it's simple things like this, right? We're like, inherently it makes a lot of sense. It's like, okay, yeah, just put photos in folders. You can organize folders into subfolders. Like, cool. You can do all that in our app. Mm-hmm. But our engineers came up with this idea called hit list, which, you know, we all have our hit list going into the season every year. But now it's this really cool, really intuitive feature where, you know, and here's the joke, right? Like, on all these dating apps that exist now, the whole joke is like swipe right, right? Mm-hmm. Like you swipe right on people you want to connect with. That's basically what they built into our app. So if you get a picture of a buck that you want to put on your hit list, you simply swipe right on that picture and you build like, it almost looks like a baseball card, right? So it's got a picture of that buck. You can name the buck. And then on the back of it, it has stats. So it'll show you like the last 15, you know, 10 or 15 photos of that buck. It'll show you the location of the camera that that photo was taken. It'll show you, you know, you can change that buck to like active or inactive. Like if you know he got hit, killed by your neighbor, you can change his status to inactive. So now you can create this like hit list of your bucks. Like we all used to do this stuff on spreadsheets, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you had spreadsheets of deer with all this data. It's like, now you can have all of that data on a simple like baseball card of that buck. And you can have 10 of those baseball cards. So it makes it really easy to track deer, especially if you're somebody who has target bucks, right? Or you have a hit list every year. Yep. It's like little things like that. To me, it's like, okay, that just saved me maybe an hour a week, right? Of what I used to do for trying to figure out where these deer are and tracking. So it's like, I think that's what gets me fired up about the app side is like what we can do on that side of things to make this whole process easier and more seamless for people.
Right. All right. There used to be some other platforms out there that would do these things for you. Do these pictures correlate with weather patterns where like, this trail camera had this buck come through it on, like 90% of the time he comes through on a northwest wind in the mornings. Like, do you have that kind of information along with this?
Let me just say not yet. Okay. So every single one of those pictures, and here, I'll say this with, you know, I'm sure people will pick up what I'm dropping here, but like every single one of those pictures has some data associated with it, right? So it's going to tell you, our camera is going to have access to weather data. So, you know, the temperature, you know, the moon phase, you know, the barometric pressure, you know, wind direction, et cetera. So can you go into any one of those photos, you know, because let's say you pull up, let's say you're calling them Lefty, right? So you got the baseball card for Lefty. You could go through and you could say, okay, the last 10 times he came through in daylight, here's the data associated with it. In the very near future, that will be much less manual. Let me just say that.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's really easy. It makes it easier for you to pattern specific weather patterns, especially I used to use this app called Deer Lab. Guy I know created it. He's a stud. And you go into that platform and you just click on, you know, a specific GPS location, and it could capture specific deer. If you label it, it would capture deer movement, and it sounds like you're going down that path as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing about these photos, right? It's like they all have data associated with them. And if you can organize that data or use an algorithm or AI to kind of consolidate that data for you, your ability to learn things about a deer or a deer's movement becomes a whole lot easier, right?
Right.
You know, you can expand beyond that, like beyond a specific buck for you. But we have, and this is no secret, like we've talked about this before, we'll have 100 million photos a day that get taken by Reveal cameras across the, you know, the lower 48. Mm-hmm. So if you think about like the data associated with 100 million photos a day, you know, there's a lot of things we'll be able to do to help people out down to your specific zip code, right? Like in terms of helping you understand how certain things impact deer movement, or, you know, what type of days might be days you want to hunt or not want to hunt. Like there's a lot of data there. Obviously it needs to be mined. It needs to be consolidated. It needs to be digestible, but this is real deer data, right? This isn't like collared deer. This isn't deer in a pen that a lab is studying. This is like real deer in your zip code, which I think to me, that's the really cool possibilities for the future for us.
Dude, my brain just went off, dude. You have a lot of these predictive deer movement apps that are based off collared deer studies and weather patterns, but being able to mine that data to tell Western Illinois in this county, get in the woods right now because it's popping. Something's happening. It's popping off right now. So you guys are actually the, would be potentially the best version of predictive deer movement because of data, the amount of data that you have come in based off of, I mean, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's real data to your point.
Real.
Down to the zip code, right. So a lot of these, algorithms or apps or whatever in the past, they're based off of somebody's input, right? So
exactly.
Here's the difference. Like somebody decides these weather conditions are good. This change in weather condition is good. This day is good. And they build an algorithm and then apply that to a situation. Mm-hmm. But there's always human error there, right?
And 100%.
Geographically speaking, there's always variance in like what's good in southeastern Illinois or Iowa is different than what's good in southwestern Kentucky, right?
Right.
What we can do, right, is we have billions of photos, right, that have been taken by Reveal cameras. So we can actually we do it the opposite way. We don't say, hey, we think these things are good. We can say, okay, from all this data, what is good, right? Mm-hmm. What has proven to be good in the field, and then apply, you know, AI or an algorithm to that and actually say, from what we know is good, here is what you want to know about your area, right? Yeah. And so it's almost like we're flipping the script there and we're not saying, here's some anecdotal thing that we think. It's like, no, this is the real data from the real world, from your zip code. Apply it to your situation.
Yeah. That blows my mind, dude. Like I'm a numbers guy. Like I really get into statistics and detail, like numbers and things like that. So that kind of stuff fires me up. But this is a great transition here, because what we've talked about today is how badass these cameras are. But at the same time, I would be doing the hunting community that follows me a disservice if I didn't ask some of these devil's advocate questions. Okay. And the live video. Okay. There are lots of people who use that, and they're going to use that. And they're, you know, because they have a crunch for time and things like this. But now we have specific states. And I'm really not even sure where Iowa stands right now on some of this stuff. It's been back and forth, left and right. And I don't even know if I've got an answer for that yet. But there are states out there where it's like, you cannot use a cell cam in the aid of harvesting an animal. Okay. Now that's very gray. There's no black and white. Like, what's the time? We don't know. What's the, like, if I get the picture yesterday, does that, and I kill it today, does that count? Right. And then number two, like, how are they going to like follow through, knowing whether or not a trail camera has been used in the aid in harvesting? So from a company that has this technology that is literally going to, you know, let's just be real, it does help in the aid of harvesting some of these animals. Like, what is the message that you guys are spreading to the users of your products and to maybe even some of the critics of your product?
Yeah. No, I think it's a great question. It's the reality that we live in, right? Like, I think, sure, we're talking about cell cameras today, so it's easy to like use that as an example. But like, there is an evolution of technology across the hunting industry that you could apply to a bunch of different sectors, right? Like, lighted nocks were a big one for a long time, right? Yep. Like, going from fixed blade to expandable broadheads, you could say is an evolution in technology. Like, you look at rifles today versus rifles of even 30 years ago, right? Like, the advancements in machining and technology that's gone into building a rifle, or even optics, right? Like, all of these things continue to evolve, you know, even lighted sights, for an example, right? Or sights with magnifiers. Like, there's examples across the hunting industry. It doesn't take away from the question you're asking, right? It's like, at what point, like, what's the message, right? At what point is this acceptable? Is it not acceptable? I think from our perspective and from my perspective, you know, the way I always look about it and the way I talk about it is like, a cell camera is a tool, right? It is not a replacement for. And here's the thing. It's like, even if you have a cell camera that you can do live video on, can you teleport to that spot where that deer is and get there and just kill him? Like, you can't. And even if you could, like, we know how in tune deer are, right, to sights and sounds and noises. Like, even if you could automatically get there, like, how many times have you had a deer within 15 yards of your stand or your saddle? You can't kill that deer. You know what I mean? Like, it happens to us all the time. So I think the big thing that we need to keep in mind is, like, again, these are tools. They're not replacements for woodsmanship, right? Yes, they help us be more effective. That's kind of the goal of anything we do, right? Whether it's a clothing system, the bow you shoot, the sight you use, like, we're always trying to get 1% better. And I think on paper, right, because this is attached to actual technology, it's a little easier to say, like, well, is this more than 1%? Is this 10% easier? Is this, like, I don't know. It's all anecdotal, right? But
right.
I think when we get back to the heart of it, it still comes down to, like, it's a tool that you need to know how to use. And if you know how to use it and you add it as a tool to your arsenal, I think it makes your, you maybe stack the odds a certain percentage more in your favor than you would without that tool. But it doesn't replace all these other things that you still need to do, right? You still need to be effective with your weapon. You still need to understand woodsmanship. You still need to understand wind direction, right? And animal behavior. Like, it's a piece to that puzzle, but it doesn't eliminate the entire puzzle for you, right?
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you this. I grew up and started hunting in the era before cell cams, and even a couple years without any cell, without any trail cameras. Okay. And so me personally, my path went from learning the woodsmanship, failing a whole bunch of times, and then figuring it out, and then adding the tool of trail camera and then eventually cell camera, to the lineup. And really what it did is it made me become more efficient in my, with my woodsmanship, right? Cause you still have to do an access route. You still have to walk into the areas where your paths are going to cross. You still have to know the wind directions, what the thermals are doing, like what time of year it is. And all that stuff is still important. You know, it's not like it is a, some first timer can go out, you know, and there's examples, there's 100 examples of how, yes, a first timer could go out and do this, but also, there's equally, if not more times where a cell camera goes off, someone jumps right into the woods and blows them out and they never see them again because they only relied on a cell camera for their strategy. And so, again, it's a tool that I feel works, but you also have to be careful with, because if you overuse it, then you're going to mess things up worse than, and that's just my thought on some of those things. So, but yeah, man, it's a great tool, man. As Reveal starts to go in, like the Ultra is the hot item right now. What does the next group of cameras look like? I mean, what more can a camera do from a cellular standpoint? Or does the main focus now come to the app side of it?
I think, you know, I know this is like a generic answer, but I think it's honestly both. You know, like, we're not taking our foot off the gas on either front. I think you're going to see two things happen. You're going to continue to see the evolution on the hard good side. So the camera and accessories itself, like, I have stuff on my desk right now that I've been testing that, you know, is years out on the hard good side of things, the camera side, that, like, right now it blows my mind. You know, I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Right. So, like, there is still evolution happening there. And, you know, the next run of cameras that comes out, like, I think people are going to have the same reaction to it. I think in terms of scale of evolution, you're going to see, you know, more exponential growth on the app side. The stuff we have in the works there, that's even more mind blowing to me. So there is, let me just say this, there is still room to improve on the camera side. And I could tell you it's happening, you know, as we're talking about it.
Yeah.
The stuff that's coming on the software side, the app side, I think is even exponentially more exciting, just because, like, there is no limit there, right? Like,
right.
that's one of the cool things about the space that we're in, is like, there's a lot of inline technology that's being applied in other sectors outside of hunt and trail cam, right? That we can adopt into our system. We're developing things that no other industries are using, right? Like, we're actually pushing the needle on the technology side that other industries are then using to adopt. Like, that's a really cool, exciting place to be right now, is like what we're going to be able to do on that side. So I think it's both. I think one's going to probably grow faster than the other, but we're definitely not taking our foot off the gas on either front, because there's a lot of room left.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tacticam.com/cameras is where you're going to find all the information you need about the last year's version 3.0s and the newer Ultra. Is there anything else that you need to tell us, or a message that you need to send to your demographic?
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity, and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Vic, before we shut her down today.
You know, I think the biggest thing, you know, in terms of getting a message out there, is I think the barrier to hunting, the barrier to entry to hunting has always been high, right? You talk about, like, you grew up in an era prior to cell cameras, right? So did I. I was lucky enough to have mentors in my life, right? Like, yeah. I had my dad and my uncle and whatever. I think the other thing to think about is, like, if you are somebody who doesn't have one of these mentors, like, these can be tools to help lower that barrier to entry. Like, you can learn a lot from a couple cameras in the woods, you know, if you don't have a ton of time to be out in the woods. And that's one thing that's really important to us, both on the hardware side and the app side, is, like, we try and offer a suite of products that you can choose what's appropriate for you. I'll just say this out loud because it's true. Not everybody needs an Ultra, right? Not everybody needs live stream or active GPS or selectable Logo Nogo flash. Some people just want a camera that takes pictures and videos, and that's fine. So I think if you look at our products, you know, between the X, the Pro, the Ultra, also looking at accessories, right? Various levels of accessories. Like, if you come to us and you come to our ecosystem, I think you'll notice that we spend a lot of time making sure that what you need for your specific situation, we have an offering for. So. Right. Just because we sell the Ultra doesn't mean we also don't sell the X, right? And vice versa. So don't get intimidated, right, by some of these high-end, you know, race car like super fast features, sometimes the basic stuff is all you need. And we want to make sure, like, we're never going to go away from that. And even on the app side too, like I told you how I use the app. I'm a super user, right? Like yeah. I'm the guy that used to build spreadsheets and think about this stuff 365 days a year. The app is powerful enough for me that I don't need to do that anymore. But somebody like my father, who I hunt a lot with, all he wants to do is look at photos and videos, right? And he's able to navigate the app in a way like I didn't have to teach him how to use it, right? Like right. he just figured it out. So I think there's something there for everyone. And you just got to explore it, right? Like you'll find where you fit in that, but it's not intimidating. It's not hard to use. Like anybody can pick it up. Anybody can do it.
Right. Right. Yeah, man. Ford Taurus has killed deer too, right?
So, amen.
Amen. So you got the variety over there. Hey, Greg, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and talk to us about Reveal and the direction that you guys have went and where you've came from and where you're going. Go to tacticam.com/cameras and check out their full lineup of cameras. Outside of that, you can follow them on Instagram, Facebook, all the social places as well. Greg, appreciate your time.
Thanks, man.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.